Welcome to the reading of tape number 11 of The Ark of the Covenant Opened, or A Treatise of the Covenant of Redemption by Patrick Gillespie. This Reformation audio resource is a production of Stillwater's Revival Books. There is no copyright on this material, and we encourage you to reproduce it and pass it on to your friends. Many free resources, as well as our complete mail-order catalog containing classic and contemporary Puritan and Reform books, CDs, and much more at great discounts, is on the web at www.swrb.com. We can also be reached by email at swrb@swrb.com, by phone at 780-450-3730, by fax at 780-468-1096, or by mail at 4710-37A Avenue, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, T6L3T5. If you do not have a web connection, please request a free printed catalog. If you do have a web connection and would like to be added to our email list, please send an email to add@swrb.com with the word add in the subject line. And now to our reading of Ark of the Covenant Opened, or A Treatise of the Covenant of Redemption, which we pray you find to be a great blessing, and which we hope draws you near to the Lord Jesus Christ. Continuing our reading of chapter 8 of The Necessity of a Mediator. Use number 1. The necessity of a mediator in this covenant cleareth one of the main difference between the covenant of grace and the first covenant, which was of works, wherein there was no mediator, nor need of a mediator, the parties being friends and in fitness to deal immediately. Use number 2. From the necessity of a mediator in this covenant, be convinced of your need of a mediator. 1. Let natural men be convinced of this. You have none to deal for you. You must stand or fall by your own righteousness without any mending of it. You must do for yourselves or be undone, for there is no mediator of that covenant under which you stand. You must do so, or of necessity come to Christ the mediator, that you may partake in a better covenant. 2. Let believers be convinced of this. It is not natural men only that need a mediator to make their peace and to change their covenant state, but you also need a mediator. 1. At all times before and after justification. Romans 5, verses 6 and 10. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. In making your peace and maintaining it, before and in and after your conversion, you will need a mediator till you be in over the threshold of glory, till you have put off the body of sin, John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. Song of Solomon 1, verse 4. Draw me, we will run after thee. Luke 22, verse 32. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. 2. To all intents and purposes, as well relating to your covenant state as to your duties, not only for your persons to make your peace, but also for your performances to procure their acceptance. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. Revelation 8:3. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it up with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. 3. In all things pertaining to God, whatsoever you have to do, if it be a thing that relates to God, Hebrews 2:17, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. If you have any direction to receive from God, if you have any blessing to receive, you need a mediator to procure it to you and to receive it for you. If you have any service to offer to God, any duty to perform, you need a mediator both to afford your strength to perform it and to offer it to God for you. If you have any evil to deprecate, you need a mediator to avert it, whether it be for sins before or after conversion. 1. in all cases, not only in thy deadness and indispositions for duty, but when thy heart is best framed, thy tenderness and good frame cannot mediate for thee. Daniel 9, verses 3 and 17. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayers and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. Isaiah 38, verse 3 and 14. And Hezekiah wept for sore, like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. Not only when thou art at distance with God and canst not find access, but when thou art nearest to him and admitted to his presence to speak before his throne, then thou needest a mediator, not only for establishing thee in that good condition, but for covering the evil of thy best condition. Isaiah 64, verse 6. But we all, as an unclean thing, and our righteousnesses are all as filthy rags. Isaiah 6, verse 5. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Use number 3. Study to carry as becometh those who need a mediator, and for this end take these directions. 1. Take care to beat down self-confidence and self-adoration, even of everything in you that is not Christ, his gifts and graces, and assistance is not expected. Put not a created grace in Christ's room. Be not lifted up with these, nor led away from the mediator by them. Philippians 3, verses 3 and 4. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. 2. When duties go well and a good frame of spirit is enjoyed, watch that your hearts lay not the weight of your acceptation upon these things, but that you keep them especially within sight of Christ's mediation as the ground of your confidence. Philippians 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. 3. Let your employing of him be as large as the extent of his mediation reaches to, and that is to all things pertaining to God. Hebrews 2, 17. Shut him not out of his office in anything that is a matter betwixt God and you. Think not to put him to drudge at your burdens, and to slight him in other things. He will not be so dealt with. 4. Let us beware of tempting Christ or grieving the mediator. If you carry about with you the fresh conviction of your need of him, you will be very tender and wary of tempting him and sinning against him. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 9. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Chapter 9. Of the person who is mediator, and of the great discoveries of God, which are made to us in and through Christ. In the next place, I shall speak something of the mediator's person, or of the person who is mediator, and his fitness and qualification for this work. When the person is known, his fitness for the mediatorship will appear. For it is namely in order to that end that we speak here of the person who is mediator, that his complete qualifications for that office and the discoveries which are made of God to us through him may be known. And 1. Before we speak of the mediator's office, let us consider the person who is mediator of the new covenant, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12, 24, Hebrews 8, verse 6, 1 Timothy 2, 5, 1 Timothy 3, 17. Jesus Christ, Mediator, carries three names which relate to three great discoveries and manifestations of God that are made to us in Him. 1. As He manifests the will of God, He is called the Word of God. Revelation 19, verse 13. 2. As He manifests the nature and essence of God, He is called the brightness of His glory. Hebrews 1, verse 3. 3. As He manifests the person of the Godhead, He is called the expressed image of His person. I do not say these names relate only to these discoveries, but mainly. 1. The person who is mediator of the covenant of grace is He whose name is called the Word of God. Revelation 19, verse 13. And that both in relation to creation and redemption. 1. He is the Word by whom all things were made, Ephesians 3, verse 9, who hath created all things by Jesus Christ, Hebrews 1, verse 2, by whom also He made the worlds, Psalm 33, verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. 2. He is the Word in relation to the revealing all the will of God. He is the medium as well as reconciler. There is a new discovery of God after the fall. It's a discovery of Him in Christ. And this is a mystery which the angels dive into with stupendous endeavors. 1 Peter 1, verse 12. Which things the angels desire to look into. Christ is the Word of God that reveals this mystery. Matthew 11, verse 27. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him. John 1, verse 18. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. 3. He is the Word of God in relation to the fulfilling all the Word of God, and accomplishing His will, especially that which relateth to Himself. This name is given Him in the time of the seventh trumpet, Revelation 11, verse 15, with Revelation 19, verse 13. When all the promises and threatenings are to be fulfilled, then He shall be acknowledged to be the Word of God. The ordering of all things according to the Word of God and the accomplishment of all His will since the fall is committed to the administration of Christ Mediator. John 5, verses 22 and 23. For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment to the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. It was Christ that brought the flood upon the world. It was He that sent down to Sodom and destroyed it. 2 Peter 2, verses 5 and 6. Jehovah did it. Genesis 7 and 21. The same name is given to Christ. It was Christ, the angel of the covenant, that appeared in the bush and delivered His people out of Egypt. Exodus 3, verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Acts 7, verse 30. An angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. It was He that brought all these judgments on them in the wilderness. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 9. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. It was He that brought them to Canaan and out of Babylon and built the temple and filled it after their return. Isaiah 63, verse 9. By the angel of His presence He saved them. Zechariah 6, verse 12. Behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Zechariah 9, verses 11. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein there is no water. Haggai 2, verse 7. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. And this contributes to make Christ a fit mediator and to support the faith of God's people, that the making of all things, the revealing of the will of God, and the fulfilling of it, even the whole government, is upon His shoulders. which may assure our hearts that the work which he undertaketh shall be accomplished. 2. This is he who is called the brightness of his Father's glory. Hebrews 1, verse 3. As Christ is, so he manifests God's will. Here he is, so he manifests the nature of God. And here let us, 1, see what the glory is. I take it to be meant not of the essential glory which he had with the Father from all eternity, but of his manifestive glory and majesty of the Lord which shined forth in Christ. For it is of Christ mediator that the apostle here is speaking. It is the excellencies of God as they shine forth in the mediator, which otherwise had been invisible and could not have been seen, discovered, nor looked upon. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Therefore the end of Christ being constitute mediator is for this manifestive glory, whereof we read, John 11, verse 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. John 5, verse 22 and 23. For the Father judgeth no man, but he hath committed all judgment to the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. 2. The brightness or sent forth light here spoken of is a similitude taken from the sun, wherein there is the body of the sun, there is the light of the sun, and the shining splendor or beams of the sun. Interpreters think this to be an expression of the eternal generation of the sun proceeding from the Father as light from the sun. I take it rather to be the manifestation of the Father in Christ the mediator, who is otherwise invisible. As the sun is manifested by its own light, so that if you would light all the torches in the world, you cannot see the sun by the light of these, without its own light. No more can you see God but in Christ Jesus, who is the brightness of his glory, the light whereby his excellencies are manifested. John 1, verse 9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Matthew 11, 27. Neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. 3. This is he who is called the express image of his Father's person. Hebrews 1, verse 3. The imprinted form. This similitude relates to the persons of the Godhead, as the former did to the divine essence and nature. It is borrowed from the signet's impression, which represent all the lineaments of the seal. The character is the person is the perfect expressed image. Mark, Christ is called the image of God's person, not of his essence, for he is the same essence, not the same person. There is in the Godhead essence and substance. The essence is the one, but the subsistence or persons are different, as is expressed in Scripture, 1 John 5, verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. I take not this to be meant of Christ as God principally, for so he is in the same nature, names, and attributes, rather than the image of God. But I understand it of Christ as mediator, in whom there is a full and perfect resemblance of the Father's attributes and excellencies. And here for our knowledge of the person who is mediator, I lay down two conclusions from that comprehensive description of him. 1. That Jesus Christ hath in him a glorious resemblance and a perfect character of all the glorious excellencies and attributes of the Father. Colossians 2, verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. 2. That it is by Christ mediator that all glorious excellencies of God are revealed unto us. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. For God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Consider, 1. That God's great end in all his goings forth towards the creature in predestination, creation, providence, is his own glory and the manifestation of his excellency. Proverbs 16, verse 4. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Romans 11, verse 36. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Revelation 4. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. But more especially, this is his end in redemption. Ephesians 1, verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. John 17, verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. 2. That which is God's end is our happiness, even to have God manifested to us, to see him, and to have discoveries made to us of his excellencies. John 17, verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Matthew 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. 1 John 3, verse 2. But we know, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. To see him and be transformed by that sight. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. 3. The way of God's attaining his end and our attaining our happiness, which are both one, the way, I say, is also one. It is in Christ, the mediator, that God is manifested, and in him do we see God. The knowledge of his glory and our happiness are both in the face of Christ. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. All the excellencies of God are manifested in Christ. He revealeth the mysteries. 1. Of his will as he is the Word. 2. Of his nature as he is the brightness of his glory. 3. Of the subsistences and distinction of the persons as he is the image of his person. He only knows the Father, and he only can reveal the Father. John 1, verse 18. Colossians 1, verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God. That is, the excellencies of God, otherwise invisible, are revealed by him and to be seen in him. These three things of God are discovered in Jesus Christ. 1. The attributes of God. 2. The distinct subsistences of the persons of the Godhead. 3. The distinct offices of the three persons. 1. There is a full manifestation of the attributes of God in Jesus Christ, the mediator of the new covenant. These attributes that were never manifested before, mercy and long-suffering, are revealed in him, and these that were manifested before shine more brightly through Christ. 1. The wisdom of God. There was great and infinite wisdom showed in creating the world and ruling it by his wise providence. But what is that to the wisdom that is showed in Christ? The wisdom that reconciled justice and mercy, the wisdom that punished sin and pardoned the sinner. How wonderful and unsearchable is that wisdom that by the fall of man raised him to a greater height of happiness than ever he had before. Romans 11, verses 33 and 34. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Ephesians 3, verse 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. This is the manifold wisdom of God, which yet doth not fully express the Greek word, which signifies the manifold and various wisdom, or the wisdom of God, that is full of admirable varieties. So says Beza, Erasmus, Zanchius, and Stephanus. And Stephanus is S-T-E-P-H-A-N-U-S. 2. The goodness of God is manifested in Jesus Christ. His goodness and love to man appeared much at first in making him of the rank of the highest creatures on earth, and putting all the rest of the creatures under his feet. Psalm 8, verses 5 and 6. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. This was penned to magnify the nature of man, but in Christ our nature is more magnified, as we shall show by and by. Hebrews 1, verse 6. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. This is a higher pitch of the love of God, that is, this is the goodness of God more manifested than ever before, to give his Son Christ for man, and his Son to become sin and a curse for man. John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 2 Corinthians 5 to the last. For he hath made him to be sin for us that knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. 3. The mercy of God is eminently manifested in Jesus Christ. Man is made to rise by his fall. Mercy never saw the light before. It was never revealed but in Jesus Christ, for it respects the creature in its misery. Luke 1:72-78. To perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, when all the posterity of Adam were as fuel for the fire, mercy rescues and reserves some to be sons and heirs. Romans 9, verse 23. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. 4. The power of God is manifested in Christ. God showeth his power in the creation, as we read in Isaiah 40, verse 12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance. Job 38. See Job 38 also. But what is this to the making of our nature, and uniting it in a personal union with the Son of God? That God should become man, the Ancient of Days become a child, the incomprehensible to become comprehensible. Colossians 2, verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The invisible God to become visible, and to dwell here as in a tabernacle with men. John 1, 14. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The sovereignty of God is manifested in and through Christ. Great was the sovereignty of God that was exercised in predestination, in making of vessels of honor or dishonor, according to the pleasure of his will. Romans 9, verses 21, 22, and 23. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had before prepared unto glory? But all this was sovereignty over the creature. But that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, should be appointed a mediator of the new covenant, made a servant, commanded to lay down his life, this is greater sovereignty. John 6:38. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. John 10, verse 18. This commandment have I received of my Father. 6. The justice of God is manifested in Christ. Justice was seen in casting off the angels that fell without hope, and in executing the sentence and curse of the first covenant upon Adam for his transgression thereof. But the world never heard of such manifestation of justice as appears in the satisfaction of Christ to justice, that Christ the Son of God is made sin for us, and being made so in obedience to his Father's command, justice spares him not, but he must be smitten to death, that satisfaction may be made for sin in our nature. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. Isaiah 53, verse 8. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. 7. The holiness of God is manifested in Christ. His holiness did appear in that holy image which he put in Adam, and the holy law which he gave to him under a penalty. But this holiness of the image of God stamped on the creature was possible to be lost, and for both men and angels were capable of sin and did fall. But herein is a greater manifestation of God's holiness, that a creature, Christ man, Christ mediator, is made the fountain of all holiness. Holiness cannot be lost in him. Yea, it is derived from him, John 1:14 and 16. Full of grace and truth, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. John 3:34. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. This is spoken of Christ man, of Christ mediator. For one of the persons of the Godhead cannot receive another. Oh, what an impression of holiness is this! What a communication and manifestation of the holiness of God! The fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily in the man Christ, Colossians 2, verse 9. Where there is the highest union, there is the greatest communion. There was never such another union as that personal union, and therefore could never be such a communication of God. 8. The all-sufficiency of God appears more in Christ than ever before. The declarative glory therein shines in the restoring of lost man. For whosoever can restore a lost man can raise him to a higher happiness than he fell from. He is all-sufficient and almighty, that is, thereby declared to be so. This God did in Christ the mediator. This is a declaration of God's all-sufficiency and of Christ. Genesis 17:1. I am God Almighty. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. 9. The patience and long-suffering of God was never heard of before until it was manifested in Christ. God executed his justice against the fallen angels without exercising any patience and long-suffering towards them. 2 Peter 2, verse 4. For if God spared not the angels which fell, but cast them down to hell. But in Jesus Christ there is a discovery of the patience of God and his bearing with sinners. Isaiah 49, verse 8. There is a covenant to establish the earth, that justice do not ruin it. Jesus Christ obtained pardon and reprieval for some sinners, that they should be spared. Exodus 34, verse 6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. In him the Lord proclaims himself merciful and gracious, long-suffering. 1 Timothy 1:16. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Yea, and by way of concomitancy, and for the elect's sake, reprobate reap some benefit by the patience of God thus manifested. He suffers the creatures to mock him, and says, Where is the promise of his coming? 2 Peter 3, verse 4. Romans 9:22. Endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. 10. The faithfulness of God is manifested in Christ. He was known to be true and faithful in fulfilling the threatenings and certification of the transgression of the first covenant. Genesis 2:17. In the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And in keeping the covenant with all the creatures, Genesis 8:22, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest time, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night, shall not cease. Jeremiah 33, verse 20. Thus saith the Lord, if you can break my covenant of the day, and my covenant of the night, and that there should not be day and night in their season. But this was but a small declaration of his faithfulness, being compared with the manifestation of his faithfulness in Christ, which shines so brightly in keeping covenant and promises with him and with his people upon his account, notwithstanding all your unfaithfulness to him. Hereby he is proclaimed to be the Lord, abundant in truth. Exodus 34, verse 6. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him are amen. Psalm 89, verses 34 and 35. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. Micah 7, verses 18 and 20. Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity? Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob, and the mercies to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. 11. The majesty of the Lord, something whereof is manifested in the creation. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of the Lord, and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. But much more in restoring man, if there be a majesty in angels, Hebrews 1, 7, and of his angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirit, and his ministers a flame of fire, and in godly men, which is but a little discovered here, shall be more fully afterward. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 10, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints. Oh, what excellent majesty must there be in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1, 13, but to which of the angels saith he at any time, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? And what shall be revealed in him when he shall come in glory? 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 7, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, Colossians 3, verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. You see, then, all the attributes of God are made more bright and get a new luster in Jesus Christ the Mediator. He is the brightness of his Father's glory and the express image of his person. 2. The distinct subsistences of the person of the Godhead and Blessed Trinity are more brightly discovered in Jesus Christ than ever before. God was but darkly seen before in the distinct subsistences of the persons of the Trinity, but in the gospel through Jesus Christ there is a glorious manifestation thereof. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. 1. The eternal Son of God, the second person, his taking on our nature, doth clearly show that there are distinct subsistences or persons in the Godhead. There are two natures of one subsistence or person, which illustrates the three subsistences in one nature, or three persons in the Godhead. 2. By Jesus Christ, from his own mouth, and in the carrying as mediator, there were many bright discoveries of this great mystery, as we may read, Matthew 3, 16 and 17. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the waters, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Matthew 28, verse 28. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. John 14, verse 16 and 26. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. And many like testimony manifesting this glorious mystery. 3. The distinct offices of three persons, or their ordered administration and workings, and the various and distinct acts of the Trinity in the work of redemption are brightly discovered in and by Jesus Christ, the Mediator. 2 Timothy 1, verses 9 and 10. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own pleasure and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. But because these may be gathered from what hath been spoken of the covenant of suretyship or redemption, I shall only touch upon them in this place. And 1. The acts of the Father plotting and making the covenant with Christ's mediator. 1. He had a purpose to raise man through a mediator. Ephesians 1, verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. 2. He chose the Son for the doing this work and us in him. Ephesians 1, verse 4. According as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Psalm 89, verse 19. I have laid help upon one that is mighty. 3. He makes a covenant with the Son. Psalm 89, verse 3. I have made a covenant with my chosen, and promises were given to Christ, and grace given to us in him before the world began. Titus 1, 2. 2 Timothy 1, verse 19. 4. God the Father appoints who shall be saved and gives them to the Son, that all that were written in God's book may also be written in the Lamb's book of life. John 17, verse 9. Them that thou hast given me, for they are thine. Revelation 20, verses 12 and 15. Revelation 21, verse 27. 5. He appoints what measure of grace and glory every one of them shall have. Ephesians 4, verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Matthew 20, verse 23. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. 6. He commits all government to the Son for the elect's sake, that he may do according to this appointment. Isaiah 9, verse 6, And the government shall be upon his shoulder. John 5, 22, For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment to the Son. 2. The acts of Jesus Christ undertaking. 1. He consents to the covenant. Psalm 40, verse 7, Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. 2. He engages himself to take the creature into union with his person. Hebrews 10, verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And to lay down his life according to his Father's command. John 10, verse 18. This commandment have I received of my Father. 3. He undertakes to receive and keep and raise up at the last day all those given him by the Father. John 6, 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. John 17, throughout. 4. He undertakes the government of the world and to judge it at the last day. Psalm 2, verse 8. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Matthew 11, verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. John 3, 35. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. 3. The acts of the Spirit. 1. He undertakes to unite the human nature to Christ by a miraculous conception. Luke 1, 35. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. 2. To join us with God in one spirit. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. 3. to be a spirit of unction first to Christ and then to us through him. John 3:34. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. 4. To act all our graces to blow upon them and to help our infirmities. Song of Solomon 4, unto the last. Awake, O north wind, and come thou forth. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. 5. To shed abroad the love of God in our hearts. Romans 5:5. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. 6. To set a seal upon the hearts and to bear witness of all the works of God in us. Ephesians 1:13. In whom also, after you have believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Romans 8:16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. Now all these things are discovered and manifested to us in Jesus Christ, the mediator of the new covenant. Chapter 10 of Christ's calling to the office of mediatorship. This being the person who is mediator of the new covenant, we come in the next place to speak of the office, and 1. Of Christ's calling to it, 2. Of his qualification for it, 3. Of his carriage in it, and first we shall inquire after Christ's calling to the office of mediatorship, which we shall shortly dispatch by answering of these three questions. Question 1. How came Christ to undertake this work? Answer. He was called to it. He did not intrude himself in the mediator's office, but was sent and employed in the work. These things clear his calling to the work. 1. Several of his names imported. Malachi 3:1. He is called the angel or messenger of the covenant. Because of his mission and God's sending of him to do this work, Isaiah 42:1, my servant and mine elect, because of his being called and employed by his Father, he was called a servant or chosen officer, formed for a special employment, Isaiah 49:5. Thus saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Philippians 2:7, and took upon him the form of a servant. 2. He is about the work of mediation by office, and not by meddling without his station, which also showeth his calling to the work, inasmuch as he was about it by office, as his duty in his calling. Hebrews 3:1, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Hebrews 5:10, called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And this is pointed out by all these scriptures, which make mention of the thing that Christ did as mediator. He did them by virtue of some tie and obligation to do them as duties of his office. Hence we find the Holy Ghost using the words must, necessity, became him, behooved, etc. Hebrews 2:10-17. For it became him, for whom are all things. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. Hebrews 8:3. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. John 4:4. And he must needs go through Samaria. 3. He is in office not by intrusion, but by anointing, which imports lawful calling and mission. Psalm 2:2. The Lord and his anointed. John 1:41. We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. So the apostle to the Hebrews shows of all his three offices. 4. The Scriptures plainly holds it forth, and the most strongly, that it is held forth both negatively and affirmatively, denying any intrusion on Christ's part, and affirming a calling from God to him. Hebrews 5, verses 4 and 5. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said to him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. Galatians 4, 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son. John 6, 38, 39, 40, and 44. Christ doth frequently make mention of the will of him that sent him. Question 2. By whom was Christ called unto the office of mediatorship? Answer, by God his Father, not excluding the other two persons of the Trinity, though for order's sake it be attributed to the Father, the fountain of divine operations. Colossians 1, verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. John 6, 27, for him hath God the Father sealed, i.e. set apart, designed and fitted for this office, that he was called unto this office by God, the Scripture speaketh plainly. Psalm 89, verse 19, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. Hebrews 5, verses 5, 6, and 10. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. In Hebrews 3, verse 2, who was faithful to him that appointed him, and that he could be called by no other may appear, 1. From the antiquity of his calling to this office, which was before all created beings, Proverbs 8, 23. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, wherever the earth was. He was elected to this in order before we were elected to salvation. Psalm 89, verse 3. I have made a covenant with my chosen. Ephesians 1, verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. 2. From the end of the office of a mediator, which was reconciliation. Now who could find out a fit person and call him to undertake this work, but he that had found out the way and means of reconciliation, which was God only? For man did neither seek nor plot a peace with God. Colossians 1:20. It pleased the Father by him to reconcile all things to himself. Psalm 89, verse 19. I have laid help upon one that is mighty. 3. From the nature of the office of mediatorship, which is an office of inferiority, a service, Matthew 20, 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Isaiah 42, verse 4, verse 2, excuse me, Isaiah 53, verse 11. Now who could design Christ, call or ordain, and command him unto an office of inferiority, although by voluntary dispensation, but God only? John 10, verse 18. For this commandment have I received of my Father. 4. From the impossibility under which the creature stood to find any daysman, except God had found one and called him to it, amongst all the creatures there was none that durst undertake this cause, or could design another to undertake it, vis-a-vis to interpose betwixt the Creator and the creature. Job 9, verse 33. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might upon us. 1 Samuel 2, verse 25. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? This ends tape number 11 of Ark of the Covenant Open, or A Treatise of the Covenant of Redemption. Please go to the next tape in the series and continue listening. Thank you. This Reformation audio resource is a production of Stillwater's Revival Books. Many free resources, as well as SWRB's complete mail order catalog containing classic and contemporary Puritan and Reform books, CDs, and much more at great discounts, is on the web at www.swrb.com. We can also be reached by email at swrb@swrb.com, by phone at 780-450-3730, by fax at 780-468-1096, or by mail at 4710-37A Avenue, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, T6L3T5. If you do not have a web connection, please request a free printed catalog. If you do have a web connection and would like to be added to our email list, please send an email to add@swrb.com with the word add in the subject line. This book, The Ark of the Covenant Open, or A Treatise of the Covenant of Redemption, is also available from Stillwater's Revival Books in softcover format at a discount in our A to Z author listings. And please don't forget to look over the 30 CDs that make up our Reformation Bookshelf CD set if you visit our website at swrb.com, as these CDs are a great way to build a major Reformed library at a fraction of the cost of the printed book.